Hello and welcome back to episode 5 of The Edge Lure Fishing Rodcast with myself, Adam Jones, and my very good friend, Brett Davis. How you doing, Brett?
I'm good, Adam boy. How are you, my friend?
Not too bad, not too bad. Still finding it a bit weird doing a podcast, but again, that is life. We've decided to start a podcast, so I've got to get over that at some point, I guess.
We'll get used to it, man.
So obviously the podcast has gone live. This is our first episode that we've done, you know, post kind of a bit of feedback and people obviously having some fun listening to our musings of an evening, which is amazing. So thanks so much everybody for sticking with us and for giving it a listen and for all your feedback. Really appreciate it. And we will just keep trying out things and hopefully it stays interesting, right, Brett?
Yeah, we're going to keep plugging away, I think, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's been nice to hear the positive feedback, though. It's humbling, I would say.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the fact that we just sit and we've basically just taken our phone calls onto a podcast, haven't we? This is just our commute home from work or from one of our sessions, you know, pick up the phone, have a chat about fishing. And it's fun that people are enjoying listening to us basically have a conversation that we would have anyway, because we are fishing nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Fishing mentalists.
Yeah, completely mental. Waking up in the morning, thinking about fishing, going to bed, thinking about fishing, which is good. So I, on that note, I guess we've, you know, got a few things to have a bit of a chat about. We saw each other on the weekend for the first time since the Welsh lockdown, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been months, brother, hasn't it?
Crazy, 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 crazy. It is nuts. It was a weird day's fishing as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a tough morning followed by quite a good afternoon, I'd say, really.
Yeah,
nothing just monstrous, but, you know, definitely a lovely bit of fishing.
Yeah, they just turned on, didn't they, out of nowhere. It was, you know, we covered a decent schlep in the morning trying to find fish without so much as a touch. I think I missed a decent bite at full range, just didn't quite get the hook set. Darian obviously had a little cucumber jack at one point. And other than that, it just felt like a catch-up more than catching, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It was the highlight was the midday coffee, right?
Yeah, exactly. Little coffee around the outside of Casa L. Jones. you know, socially distanced, of course, and outside. But we, you know, then went away in the afternoon and found, I mean, just a crazy amount of perch.
Yeah, they were stacked, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, it was like every single slack that we dropped it in had a fish, just, and not just one, you know, multiple fish, multiple hookups. Crazy, absolutely crazy. They were just slamming everything for probably 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I would say up a good length of water as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one area, was it? You know, we covered a fair amount of water in that.
Mile?
What was it? Yeah, let's say 2 hours, a mile. Yeah, a mile.
Yeah.
The amount of bait fish as well, man.
Yeah, just pushed them upstream, haven't they? And it's it was crazy. I mean, I think towards the end I had 10 minutes and I had like 9 fish. Just I haven't experienced anything like that for a while. I mean, obviously I know you experienced some of it on Sunday, so I guess we just dive straight into Sunday. We both had pretty different Sundays for various reasons, and let's start with the cream of the crop. Talk us through it.
Yeah. So what were the grading like, Adam?
Oh, you're pushing it back onto me. Okay. Cool. boom. Yeah, the grading were good. I've got a little inside. I can't really explain it. Like a kind of nostalgia thing going on at the moment, and I grew up catching grayling, trotting for grayling with sweet corn. When I was a kid in the Cotswolds, sticking a float rod in a rucksack and going down and just kind of messing around on some sections around where I used to live when I was a kid. And I've decided that I've wanted to go out and try that again. So I went down to a very famous chalk stream in and around the Southampton area and had a day's grayling fishing on the stick float, on the centre pin, with a mate from Instagram, Adam, and it was just a wicked day. It was so much fun. I've had, three sessions. I went out tonight and had a little go. First session, I had a fish almost 2 pounds, which is on my Instagram. Well, not almost 2 pounds, but a good solid specimen grayling. Yeah.
Stunning fish.
Yeah, and just fin perfect, dark, like, you know, I think my sister commented on it and said it looks like a piano. They are the most beautiful things, aren't they? And so, yeah, kind of, I don't know why, but there's something about it at the moment. So anyways, we went on Sunday. We had a load of grayling between us, loads of other bits and bobs, and I had a 5-pound, 6-ounce chub, which was absolutely crazy on trotting gear. It was one of those classic moments, you know, when you kind of, I watched this fish swim on the inside of a slack and then tuck itself under the bank and couldn't resist, even though the water was, you know, half as shallow as I was set up for with the trot on the far bank, just laying the float flat on the water and laying the maggot down on the gravel, just on the outside of the corner, threw in a couple of freebies, and this thing just kind of nosied on out, scooped up the maggots. The float just kind of slid across the top of the water, almost like a, you know, the peacock quill, old school kind of peacock quill style.
Yeah.
Fishing. And yeah, this thing was just like a bronze bomber of a fish, absolutely gorgeous chalk stream chub. So yeah, that was my Sunday. It was very interesting. I'll come back onto some grayling stuff later on, but I obviously didn't come with you perch fishing, and I feel like I probably should have done, but you know, that's the way it is. Talk us through it.
I know, man. It feels it's a bit weird to be on this side of the fence, if I'm honest. the amount of times you've regaled me with a serious capture perch, and I've just been the one, you know, smiling and nodding, well done, brother. Yeah, so went up for a session with my good friend Corey, who's pretty fresh to the lure fishing game, to be honest. So just wanted to introduce him to some proper perching. Did a bit of a road trip, a couple of hours of a drive, and ended up with our first stretch. Fished all the way up through the pressured, obvious looking areas, and then had a bit of a drama, to say the least. Snagged up and snapped my fishing rod, didn't I? a discontinued fishing rod.
Yeah, so that is the end of your Major Craft Speed Style. It is gone, and they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of you finding a tip is
slim to none.
Slim to none. Just if anybody out there has a Speed Style tip, Brett's in the market, give him a shout. I'm sure he'll take it off your hands.
Please do. and I just want to add that it was pure user error as well. I was just just acting like the I would say butterfingered lump that I am. anyway, so for some reason
you set the hook onto a tree, didn't you?
Set the hook onto a tree and struck tree like a Bass thing. Pro, and nothing moved, and
no. Or
Robert's your mother's brother, broken rod in the hand.
Snap, bam, thank you, ma'am.
So for some reason, I don't normally take two rods. I did take two rods, which is
because you saw my car the day before, isn't it?
I mean, anyone who's got a rolling quiver like that is just, you know, they're on a different level. I thought I need a bit of that action, so took two rods. I actually had two reels on me as well, just in case there were any other dramas. It's weird how I was thinking, man. You know, I don't normally prep to that degree. Anyway, go back to the car, left Corey down by the other spot, go back to the car, re-tackled up, and started strolling back down. And one of the areas that I just breezed on by earlier on in the day, just thought, let's have a pop. drop the lure in a little, probably 5 foot square slack in the flow, and literally one bounce, pause of about 3 seconds. I had the first bite, powered the fish across the slack with the St. Croix, the Legend Tournament bass.
Yeah.
Across the flow, sorry, brought him straight to the net. A lovely fish at like probably 210. I think it was one of those ones. Next cast in then. Big tap, just as the lure reaches the flow from the slack. And this one was just, what, behemoth. I knew straight away, man, you know when the weight just hits your wrist and you just know that it's a big, different fish. Like, and big edge kicks, again, straight across the flow into the net. Could see it was a three straight away. So at this point, I rang Corey because we had a conversation in the car on the way down talking about how you'd very much like to see a three on the bank. And this one was
so you showed him. Obviously, Corey, you know, really wanted to do the catching of the three.
Of course.
But yeah. You decided to show him.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, as a good friend would.
As a good friend would, yeah. So a couple of missed calls to him. get through to him. He'd been re-tackling up because he'd snagged up and he was tying a new leader on, so he couldn't answer the phone. In the meantime, I'd rang him three times. And yeah, he just started walking up and I caught three more perch in exactly the same scenario on his journey up to me. When he arrived, I had another one on. And then there was one final fish then. So seven fish in probably 10 casts, seven bites, seven fish, job done.
Amazing. Absolutely it was amazing.
Unbelievable, man. 17 pound plus of perch in 15 minutes.
Yeah, that is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it is amazing how it can happen. And, you know, we've experienced it a few times over the last 12, 18 months, but it's been quite tough up to now, hasn't it? They've not quite been in the right places and they've not quite been shoaled up and we've still had a load of weed and we've discussed it on a few of the other episodes, haven't we? But it's just feels like it's just about to happen.
Yeah.
It feels like it's on the edge. And obviously it is happening with those fish, but I feel like they're maybe transitioning between two areas. You know, they're in a mid kind of slack between two very big slacks.
Yes.
But it does feel like it's starting to happen. And that just makes me extremely excited.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. It was, it's a clear sign that they're at least shoaled up there, right? Because we don't think they were before.
No. And it's, we obviously know, you know, we know those sections quite well. And it's like, you know, we know the shoals there. We've seen them. We've caught them before. You know, I had a session last year where I five in a row, you know, like we've had sessions like that around there where it's, you know, there's a lot of fish, but only at certain points in the year because they've got so much river to move around in.
Yeah.
And I really do think that they just congregate there for a few months and then completely dispersed. You know, they're not moving around in that big shoal all year.
No, definitely not.
You know, I think they're probably in threes and fours rather than sixes and sevens. And
incidentally, I was all sixes and sevens after the in the aftermath of
teed it out of the park. I teed it up and you hit it out of the park. Very, very good. So yeah, I mean that's amazing, man. And it's good to see because I think I phoned you absolutely buzzing, probably the week before, wasn't it? The Friday I went out and had, you know, what did I have? Two big ones and Adam had one as well.
Yeah. So
with three casts again in a spot that we haven't really seen fish from this year.
Yeah.
So it is just so exciting that they're
coming. I know.
Epic angling, mate.
Oh, cheers, man. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's unusual for you to say that, Amir.
I said it through gritted teeth.
I'm only playing, man. You're the kindest soul.
Yeah, I'm obviously I'm now playing up to that, but you know, yeah, I am. I'm a lovely person. thank you, mate. Awesome angling, mate. And I think it's like we've said, it goes to show being prepared, being in the right place, you know, understanding, you know, what you're throwing at. So knowing your shapes and your kind of your areas that you're looking for, you know, obviously slacks are an obvious thing to say, but there are slacks and then there are slacks. And you just get to know what that shape is, don't you? You just get to know, is it a slack on the surface? Is it an actual slack that is being kind of pushed by something under the surface? You know, those ones are obviously going to lead to more fish, but there's a nice piece of slack water behind whatever it is that's causing the slack. And that's the difference. You know, you've fished an area there that's like, what, 300 yards between the two areas where you'd expect them to be. It's probably 150 yards between the two.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. roughly, maybe even further.
Yeah, maybe a bit more. And the only reason you've cast it there is because your perchy senses have led you to sticking a bait under that particular bush. You know, that is the way it is. So it is proper angling, and it does go to show that, you know, that's what it's about. It's about finding those shapes in your local water, and working out, you know, what those fish want, where they want it. And then you can start extrapolating that into the rest of your local area, which is all we've done on all of the systems that we fish, isn't it? We've found what works on one system and then just tried to use that on the rest of the system. And it seems to work.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a degree of copy and pasting going on, right?
Yeah, full Google Maps copy and paste. It's it's the way it works.
Yeah.
No, absolutely love it, mate. That is extremely, extremely exciting news.
I know.
And a PB equaling £3.09.
Yeah, man. And I would say somehow it was more impressive than the first one. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it was sat amongst all the smaller fish. You know, the average size at like 2.8, and this giant is just amongst them, and he just looked weirdly big.
yeah. To be fair, I know why, because we caught. I remember being with you for your first 3.9.
Yeah,
it was almost dark.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were struggling. We were struggling with the scales. We had to like kind of put new batteries in, and it was all, you know, a bit of a mishmash in the dark. We didn't get the photos that you want, you know, it's all of those things. Whereas this is, you know, classic middle of the day, big as you like, no issues whatsoever. It's a serious, serious chunk of a fish.
Yeah. I just want to see another one now, right? Already.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the time is now. I mean, January, February, March. Oh, man. It's exciting, isn't it? And I think you know, to push back on a few of the things, because obviously, you know, it's an amazing catch, seven specimen perch in, you know, 8 casts, £3.09, and then the rest between £2 and £2.15.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome angling. And I just think that it's worth pointing out to the guys that listen to this and watch my YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram is that, you know, there's a lot of yards and hours that go into those kind of golden moments. And there's a shed load of blanks that go in there as well. There's a shed load of exploration of spots and, you know, taking your rod, but not really fishing and just looking at a new section or whatever that is. And I think it's really easy to think that it's as easy as turning up to a good place and finding fish. And sometimes it is. Sometimes you will just turn up and you'll find those fish. But, you know, I do think that potentially it's not a false thing. It's just that you obviously are not going to take a photo of a blank and put it on Instagram. But, you know, for those guys that are out there, especially the ones that are new to this, and, you know, I know there's lots of people that are coming to lure fishing for the first time from the carp scene, from the coal scene, you know, just generally fancy giving it a go, might not have picked up a rod much before, which is all awesome. Don't get disheartened, especially this time of year. If you're not going out and catching a few fish, you know, you need to either, we've spoken about it, scale down and just try and find those wasps. Or if you are going to fish for those bigger fish, you need to expect that you're not going to catch every single time. And that you're out there, you know, enjoying yourself, looking at different areas, exploring the river. But these opportunities, these 7 fish and 7 casts, big fish, can and do happen if you put those yards in on your kind of local waters. Look for those obvious places, you know, learn as much as you can from all the various things that are out there, but just don't get disheartened with it. That you, if you're disheartened with not catching too many fish, then, like I said, scale down and you'll find some. Or fish in the summer with Neds and bigger baits, and you'll catch wasps all day long. But this time of year, this is what it's about, right? It's about those yards. It's about being wrapped up. It's about putting in 14K. It's about, you know, trying those different spots, because eventually what Brett experienced on Sunday happens.
Yeah. Couldn't have put it better myself.
It's,
and then, you know, on the flip side, what did I do tonight? I blanked.
Yeah, well, there we go. This is it. Let's talk about the blank. Tell me about the blank.
Absolutely soul destroying, obviously. But no, you know, I tried everything. you know, started off big as I always do and then scaled down and I couldn't even buy a bike from a boss. But yeah, as we all know, that is just fishing.
It is just fishing. And it's, you know, if you look at our Saturday session, and I'm gilding the point slightly, but I do think it's important because obviously, you know, that social media, as we all know, is a great vehicle for, you know, sharing beautiful things and us all connecting to each other and whatever. But I really want to point that it's, you know, don't be disheartened if you're not necessarily finding these fish. Just put the time in, learn as much as you can. You know, think about the things that we've said, the 3D fishing stuff, you know, for both of us, I think it's so important. And the more, you know, like I've been messing around with trotting, pergrailing and stuff. Now I've done lure fishing and got to the stage that we obviously have in terms of the mental side of it and that 3D concept, the rest of your fishing will get exponentially better from fishing lures and trying to catch perch this time of year, because there's so many aspects to it. You know, you've got feeling the bottom, you've got imagining what the bait's doing, you've got, you know, retrieve styles, blah, 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 blah. So I guess the key is just keep going, keep fishing, keep trying, but understand that there are lots of blanks that come. I mean, I phone you on a regular basis, don't I, saying it's brutal.
Yeah.
this is brutal. I've just walked 5K. I've only got an hour and a half to fish. I've walked all the way to a spot. I've got there and I've got nothing for it. And then you'll go the next week and you'll find them there. It's it is what it is. And I think we've got to be, I think the podcast is a great chance for us to just explain that, yeah. You know, blanks happen. That's it. Part of fishing. Yeah. Otherwise it would be boring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm getting a sense that there's a lot of people out there that are getting frustrated, and I get it. You know, not catching the big ones or, you know, just catching wasps, but the journey's worth it, isn't it? At the end of the day, that's what I'm trying to get at, I guess.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's much more of a sense of accomplishment when you've done three blanks on the bounce and then finally landed on fish on the fourth trip.
Oh man.
And I do think that you should start posting some sort of picture every time you blank.
Really?
Yeah, because then your Instagram would just be absolutely rammed with pictures of you doing nothing on the bank, right?
Pictures of just me, just me next to a hedge.
grinning sheepishly. Yeah.
Just with the classic ginger grin, but what, maybe holding just an empty landing net. with a single tear rolling down my face.
Yeah, or a can of Stella.
Oh yeah. I wish I could share a visual photo whilst we're on a podcast. So I went grayling fishing again this evening for an hour and caught some really, really lovely fish. You know, nothing massive, £1.2, £1.3, something like that. But great fun, wicked fish, absolutely gorgeous. Just sent a photo to Brett of this lovely, just scale perfect, fin perfect. Looks like it's been 3D printed out of a grayling printer machine, grayling with, you know, nice, clear, flowing, chalky water behind it and some reeds. And just a singular floating crushed can of Stella directly underneath it, just to keep it urban and to keep it kind of London perch finder, I think is the way.
Yeah, keep it grounded, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's either that or it's product placement, and I've just picked up a Stella sponsorship, but I'm not sure.
that's a road to bad places. That is, my man. Yeah.
Well, we already fish in vests, right? So I think Ben Langdon would say that we're on our way to that.
Yeah.
I love it. Right. So, moving on. Let's kind of keep on the kind of subject of catches. Obviously, that was this weekend's fishing. Feels like quite a lot of stuff. It was only 2 days.
I know.
2 days fishing, but what else have we been up to in the last kind of, what, probably just over a week since our last recording? I mean, you've had some pretty outstanding chub on lures as well. So talk us through your chub.
Yeah, I mean, they were amazing fish, but like, you know, since then perch, they've kind of been overshadowed for me. I shouldn't say it, but they really have. I mean, they were amazing fish. came from near the bottom of a weir pool. Obviously targeting perch. And normally I would sort of power wind the lure. Once I get that flow, I would sort of power wind the lure out of the flow and just, recast straight into the slack. But for some reason, I just allowed it to swing around in the flow and just tinkled across the gravel. You just feel the, the stones transferring up the line. And I had just two massive bites at the very end of that run. First fish at 5.5. Amazing log-headed chub. Didn't think it was going to be bettered. Obviously, that was a PB.
But also, just quickly, 5.55 is a PB of how much?
1 pound, 6 ounces.
Yeah, so a massive PB. Yeah. Classic. Just breezing past just breezing the PB chub. I mean,
okay. Did the photographs over the moon, released it. Darian left, just started walking away because she thought the deed was done. And I had the classic last cast in a spot and exactly the same line. In exactly the same place, another big solid tap, much more weight on the strike, admittedly, but it kind of just, I mean, the first one fought really hard. It was trying to do me on all the snags left and right, but this one just pretty much just dragged to the top. And when I saw it, I thought it was deformed. It looked so, the side of the fish was so deep. I just thought there was something wrong with it. Anyway, I slipped the net under it and there was nothing wrong with it. It was just hench. just a clear bigger fish. Exactly, it was exactly the same length as the first one, but it was a full 10 ounces heavier at 5.15.
Unreal.
I know, just mind blown on that in that situation as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. And all on, so TRD Bugs on a net.
That was TRD Bugs. Yeah, that was on a net, wasn't it? No, that was on a cheb. On a cheb, yeah.
On a cheb. So just kind of wafting a cheb around.
Yeah, so like it was a 5 gram cheb. It wasn't anywhere near enough to sort of hold bottom, but I was getting down to the bottom, if you like, and just sort of maintaining contact with the cheb, with the rod tip up in the air as it reached the flow, and just sort of like gently lifting, letting the flow drag the lure down, sort of, a foot downstream, dropping back to the bottom, feeling a couple more little ticks of the gravel and then another lift. And yeah, they were just smashing it on that period of time when it was bouncing across the bottom.
I love it. So some people go rolling meat and you're going rolling bugs.
Yeah. Shout out Nick Marsh, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely love it. I mean, that is, it's definitely a way to target them, isn't it? My big one last year was exactly the same. It was kind of rolled out of a flowing bit into a slack. In fact, the other ones we had together, but when you took that photo of one that just looks absolutely enormous, I think that was about 5.6, wasn't it? That was rolled along out of a slack into the flow. There's definitely something to it. I mean, we've definitely seen, obviously, the perch love stuff on the bottom, but based on obviously what we spoke about last time, the pike do as well. All of these fish, in the kind of the Thames, the Severn, the Trent, the Ouse, all of these big rivers, they're all eating crayfish. So they are 100% zoned in to those size presentations on the floor. And there's no way that chub is getting to the size that it is without eating some serious crayfish. It's crazy, isn't it? It was like the big one that I had looked. I mean, its mouth was just gnarled from crunching crayfish shells. So it's very, very cool. I think it's definitely something we need to, it'd be interesting to see if we can zone that in a little bit more and actually target them
on lures.
Doing
we
that.
Should,
yeah. I mean, obviously we can target them on floating cranks in the summer and we can target them when we can see them on the deck. I know that Mark Lindsay, does a lot of that with kind of small lures fished in really clear water.
Exciting stuff.
Really cool stuff. But it'd be very interesting to see if we could start winkling those bigger fish out through the winter time, on lures. So could be the start of something. Something exciting.
I think we should definitely think about it more. Definitely.
Yeah, 100%. And the other thing to think about more, which is interesting, I've kind of found anyway. It might not be interesting. It might be really boring. So just stop me if it is. The pike on fly stuff. So obviously I know Black Country Piker and various others have used a lot of jig flies in the past. And I, you know, it's not that I don't like pike. It's just that I love perch. So when it comes to my general fishing, as we've discussed before, I tend to fish for perch and I tend to fish finesse for perch. I don't own a lure rod that could throw anything heavier than potentially 20 grams. As you know, I almost fell over when you pulled your pike rod out of your car with your, you know, your multiplier on there. And, you know, what's that? Is it 200 gram pike rod?
Yeah, well, it's 140 gram, but I mean, the difference between that and your little ones in the back of your car is probably, well, five times the thickness on the blank.
Yeah, I mean, I almost, you know, it was like you'd taken a telegraph pole out of your car. It was it was intense. But you know, you were throwing a Muir's Mouse, and I can see that if you want to target those bigger pike, which, you know, like I said, it's not that I don't like pike, but I love them when they get up to 7-8 pounds. That fight that you get from that level of fish is obviously completely different to, you know, those smaller jacks that we sometimes pick up when perch fishing.
Yeah.
And to get to those fish, you've got to fish a bigger profile, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, obviously you will pick bigger fish up on smaller lures, but if you want to sort of stack your odds,
Yeah. I mean, it's bizarrely, it seems that all of my bigger pike have been caught on Neds, have been caught on TRD bugs. In fact, both of them have been caught. No, one of them, so 22 pound five was on a TRD Craws on a skirted jig, and the 16 pounder I had, well, just under 16 pound the week before was, the week before last rather, was on a TRD. So, you know, they do like smaller baits. However, jig flies was something that has been going on in the back of my mind for a while. The idea that you can throw, say, a 5 or an 8 gram cheb with a 5-inch, 6-inch long profile means that when you're out and about perch fishing, you know, how often do we walk through sections that are too fast to hold perch or very difficult to fish on the deck? And instead of fishing them for, you know, pike and chub and all of the stuff that we could catch, we'll just move on to the next slack because obviously we've got our perch rods with us and, you know, we just don't fish them. Whereas now I feel like jig flies, I've just done a YouTube video on it as well, blatant plug. And obviously not a fly, not a pike plug. The plan was to be able to throw that slightly bigger profile and be able to do it on a lighter rod. So I took my Legend Tournament Bass. I slung on a 6-inch jig fly with a 6 gram cheb, and it was like a revelation. It was like it was just awesome fishing. I mean, you know, being able to watch pike turn in the edge and swim after a jig fly as it's popped downstream. I mean, you can hear it in the video. I'm buzzed, and it's not very often that happens with a pike, but just really, really exciting fishing. And the fact that you can get that presentation on a lighter rod, I'm a convert. I'm a full convert. Like I said, I know lots of the pike guys use them a lot, but I would be lying if I said that I now don't have a set of pike flies in the back of my vest with wire traces set up, ready to go. And I'll be changing out on those sections where we can't be walking.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to dropping an order and stocking up myself. Obviously, they've been on both of our radars, really, because of, well, you know, Steve's videos, obviously, Black Country Piker. He banks a lot of fish on the jig flies. And I mean, some of the tech that he's had in the edge on camera have been just sickeningly nice, right?
Oh, man, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, massive shout out to him. I think it's, you know, there's, like I said, there's loads of those guys that are using them. And I guess it's so hard. And I feel like that's another thing maybe for me in the last couple of weeks is that I've just decided I'm going to try and do a bit more and try a few more things, both lure fishing wise and, you know, the fact that I'm now trying a bit of trotting for grayling. And, you know, I think getting out and trying different things is the spice of life, isn't it? And this is, I think we've maybe been a bit guilty of just getting stuck into the perch for this whole time, which is obviously what we're about. But the pike fly thing is, yeah, it's extremely exciting. So I think there's obviously pike flies on chebs, and then there's pike on the fly. And both of them are firmly on my radar, on both our radars, I think. We're both waiting for a fly rod from the States at the moment, which will hopefully give us a bit of a musky style fly rod to go at them. So watch this space.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to risking my life throwing a 6-inch bit of fluff on a fly rod.
I mean, it's like Hector Flyfish and Damien, all those guys that are fishing them. I mean, I'm surprised they don't wear American football style helmets. I'm a bit terrified.
I think safety goggles, safety goggles are already in my Amazon basket.
I love it. Absolutely love it. I hadn't even thought about that. To be fair, can you get me something? Well, that'd be perfect.
No problem. Bye.
Thanks, mate. So last bit in terms of catches, just because I know this made you laugh immensely. I caught a chub lit on whilst I was trotting for grayling the other night. Really, really lovely chublet, but it was it was probably 12 ounces, you know, creeping up towards a pound, about the length of a tall pint glass. Really, really lovely looking, scale perfect kind of fish, but it had surprisingly small mouth for a chublet.
Oh, did it?
But it was it was a lovely chublet. So kind of, you know, it was one of those chublets that I couldn't swing it in. I had to net it. Lovely fight, you know, kind of quite jaggedy fight in the flow, and really nice. And anyway, so I netted it, and you know, I left it in the net, and I had to grab my disgorger out because I couldn't get the hook out, because it was such a small mouth. I couldn't actually get my
that's fingers unusual for a chub, that is.
Yeah, anywhere near its mouth. And then actually the hook had fallen out because it was quite a finicky fish. So it flipped the hook while it was in the net. And so I was like, oh, that's great. And I just picked up the net and grabbed the fish out of it. Lovely, kind of nice weighty silver fish, and threw it back in. Which was really, really good. And then I went home. I was thinking about the fact that, you know, I caught a grayling, I caught some minnows, caught that obviously lovely, lovely
smallmouth chub.
I think maybe I've been lurfishing too long. But it was an absolutely enormous bass, and I didn't even take a photo of it. Just popped it back, nice and quick. Great, you know, in the water, done and dusted. I shudder to think. I mean, it's 100% a PB bass for me. I mean, I've not caught a huge amount of them in the past, but it was, as far as I was concerned, it was a chublet, and I netted it.
I just want to say one thing, really.
Crazy. Go on.
To be fair, the recipient of a Drennan Award should not be throwing back a specimen disc.
Cheers, boy. Yeah. Thank you, mate. Thank you very much.
There's always next time.
Yeah, there is always next time. I know where she lives. So I maybe will catch her at some point in the next 20 years. But as far as that chance, that day is very much
fun. I do feel for you, man. That's heartbreaking.
It's just brutal. Just brutal. I think I was in quite an urban environment, you know, and I just didn't think dace, and it was a lovely thing. I mean, I amazing to see one, and amazing to, it's now vividly burnt into the back of my retina. I sharing it with the world because I knew how much it made you laugh and how little sympathy you gave me when I told you that it was dace and what I'd done. So
a small mouth chub. Wow.
small mouth. It was a chub with just an averagely very, very small mouth. Yeah, it was very difficult to, it was obviously not a chub. There we are. That's it. It's done and dusted. My chub skills are limited.
I'm probably more disappointed in you than you are in you, to be fair.
Oh, wow. That's worse than everything you've said so far. Thanks, mate. Really appreciate it. Moving on swiftly. So lure of the week. This is my idea for each week, and I promise that it won't just be Junebug bugs for me every single week. But lure of the week for you, Brett. Tell everybody at home and me what your favourite lure this week is.
It can be none other than the Motor Oil TRD bugs. That's it. Obviously.
Yeah. Bit of UV yeah. in there. Sickening action, obviously, from the bugs, and also that kind of opaque colour in the water.
Yeah, a strange, just looks strange colour, but yeah, obviously it works.
It does look kind of, yeah, it just looks alive in the water, doesn't it? So yeah, fully see that. And my lure of the week, I would say, is pipeflies.
Yes.
Pipeflies, go and try them, mess around with them on a chair. Give it a little go when you're out perch fishing next. Obviously, make sure you've got some wire traces.
Always use a trace.
110%. Always use a trace if it swims, and use a trace. End of story. And I think they're definitely worth giving a go. So those are my lures. Well, my lure of the week and your lure of the week is the Motor Oil TRD bugs. I mean, the bugs I think will always feature strongly in a lure of the week poll. Profile is crazy.
I'm gonna set out now this coming week though to use some different lures just so next week's lure of the week isn't a TRD bugs.
But it's going to be very difficult not to have a TRD something in one of our lures of the week. We'll keep you posted on how that develops over the coming perch season. I was fishing with Sam the other day and I put a TRD on, just a standard TRD, and he was not happy about it. But it's just everything with the term TRD in front is just, it's a solid fish catching machine, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, come on, Sam. I mean, let's be honest, none of it would exist without the finesse TRD. You're always going to go back to it. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, this is it. It's a finesse TRD, a TRD tickler is just a finesse TRD with some scissors taken up on the top of it, you know, and a bugs is just two TRDs stuck together, chopped in half with a little bit of a extra thing going on. It's, you know, there's a theme.
Listen up, Sam. Right.
Yeah, listen. Right, mate. So before we go, tell me very, very briefly what your plans are for the weekend. What's your go-to?
I don't know yet, but I'm thinking I've got a bit of a pike scratch that I'm really wanting to itch. I mean, obviously I did itch it a little bit last week, but I need a bit more. I want a slightly bigger fish. And
bit of an upgrade. For UKLF.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of an upgrade would be nice. I think I'll see if I can do a bit of perching somewhere. We'll see what happens, eh?
Love it. Absolutely love it. I think I'm going to do exactly the same. I think a bit of perch, probably a little bit of Christmas presents, as much as I wince to say it. But we're getting to that stage where I actually need to purchase some Christmas presents for everybody in my family and Georgia and, you know, all of that stuff. But I think perch is high on the agenda. I've got no doubt that I'll get a little bit of a railing session at some point as well. And who knows, maybe I'll catch Daisy the Dace. And what all will be good with the
fingers crossed, man. And don't do that again, please.
Oh, man, I really severely hope that I do. Absolutely love it. Right, mate. Well, I think that's us for this evening. Thanks very much for coming along to another version of the Edge of the Fishing podcast with myself, Adam Jones, and
myself, Brett Davis. That's the fishiest.
Time.
That's me.
That's your turn. Should we try that again?
No, we're done. They know.
I'll go. I'm going to go from the top. Here we go. Thanks very much for coming to another version of the Lure Fishing podcast with myself, Adam Jones.
And the fishiest, Brett Davis.
Absolutely love it. Thanks so much for coming, guys. Hope you've enjoyed, and we'll see you on the next one.